This is, if you gaze into the abyss, it will flirt back. Written by Raven of Hyde Castle. Read by Mistborn Hero. A Batman podfic. Rated for teen and up audiences. Featuring Bruce Wayne's attempts at relationships with Selina Kyle and Talia al Ghul. With the supporting cast of Dick Grayson and Alfred Pennyworth. It is tagged for Eldritch Horror Batman, Eldritch Horror Alfred, shapeshifting, inhuman characters, bat bluff, fluff and crack and angst, dysfunctional family. Dick is a ray of sunshine and a menace. Bruce Wayne is Brucey Wayne and a disaster, and he needs a hug. Selina has issues. Human monster romance. Dating fails. Attempted kidnapping. Crushes. Manipulation. Secrets. Protective Dick. He'll defend his father's honor to the death, but not his death. Overprotective Dick. I kid you not, the kid is feral. The incident. Dick loves soap operas. Complicated relationships. Bruce feels pretty good about his life. He has a face, a job, and a kid. What more could an Eldritch personification of vengeance want? Lots, according to Dick, starting with a girlfriend. Chapter 1. Chasing Tail. Adjusting to life as a human was odd. Bruce had a feeling he was messing up quite a bit. But of course, that was Alfred's fault. All of this was. The butler was the one who decided to make Bruce Wayne legally alive again, even though Bruce was barely existent in the first place. If the caregiver had done anything else, they wouldn't be in this mess.
"As I must remind you, Master Bruce," the butler said before dinner one night, flawlessly interpreting Bruce's grunts for the complaints they were. "There is always a price attached to my powers. I could hardly magic an exorbitant fortune into existence without raising some federal eyebrows. Besides, this is quite the adventure. I rather like how it turned out."
Bruce frowned deeper, causing every shadow in the manor to darken. He did not like how things were going. Lucius Fox was a wonderful man, and the very gracious about Bruce taking the company over with no notice, tact, or training. But he wasn't patient, and there was far too much paperwork to be worth the job. What did CEOs even do? Bruce doubted he would ever have a clear idea, even though he was one now. The only silver lining was that Dick loved Gotham Academy. He was learning to play hot cross buns on the flute. He wasn't allowed to play the trumpet until next year, making friends with everything that moved, and was, if possible, radiating even more sunshine than before. That made everything, even the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, worth it. Still, there were a lot of gaps in Bruce's human education. He needed to figure them out pronto, if only so when the parent-teacher conferences happened in April, Dick wouldn't be laughed at by his classmates. From what Bruce understood, that was the worst thing to happen to a kid in the history of ever.
at least according to Dick. Thank God for television. Without it, Bruce would be screwed. Bruce was just starting to feel confident about his new sparkly personality when he was thrown for a loop. As always, it was by his son, or guard, technically. But Bruce didn't pay attention to technicalities. He was Batman. Ignoring the law was his forte. Dick was his. End of discussion. Dick was also a menace. Driving him to school was a Herculean task that involved sunscreen, sunglasses, and much suffering. Even with Gotham's perpetual smog, Bruce wasn't meant to be out during the day. Even so, he wouldn't trade his morning commute for the world. Although, Dick's squirrelness was, as always, a bit much so early in the day. "Bee! Bee!" Dick said from the back seat, smacking the driver's seat with the rolled-up newspaper. "People are calling you a prince!" "Hmm," Bruce said, intrigued. "It's so cool and awesome and romantic," Dick said. He shimmied out of his seatbelt and crawled into the passenger seat. Then, plastered the paper against the windshield. "See?" Bruce was grateful his shadows functioned as extra eyes, or he would have crashed into a tree. He cast part of his focus onto the front page, but otherwise kept driving as normal. He was finally figuring out traffic laws. The Gotham Gazette had a full-page spread of Bruce, which said, "Prince of Gotham, Bruce Wayne, named most eligible bachelor in town." "That's cute, chum," Bruce said. "You're getting good at reading."
"I'm practicing so I can read bad guys their rights," Dick said proudly. "Mrs. Perkins says I am a natural. She taught me how to spell Velociraptor. It's B-E-L.
Bruce listened attentively to Dick go over every dinosaur he knew until the boy gasped dramatically.
"I got distracted," Dick said, slapping his face with a sticky hand. "Bee, the papers are wrong. You're not a prince."
"No, I am Batman,"
Bruce said. By night, he was a creature of terror, sheathed in darkness, sworn to avenge the wronged. By day, a mild-mannered billionaire. It was a flawless double life. "You are dumb," Dick flopped onto the floor of the car. "You don't see my vision."
"Vision?" Bruce said,
lips twitching upwards. He loved smiling. It was nice. Dick gave him so many opportunities to do it. "That's what Vanessa says to the teacher during art time," Dick says, crawling back into the back seat. Seatbelts were another thing that Bruce was still figuring out. Were they supposed to wear them the entire time they were in the car? She was drawing a duck, but it looked like a grape.
"I see."
Bruce did not see. "Anyway," Dick said, pulling a half-eaten lollipop out of his pocket. It was covered in lint. "You can't be a prince until you have a princess. Otherwise, it doesn't count."
"Well, we can't have that," Bruce said, deadpan. "Everybody wants to be a prince."
"It's the coolest job," Dick agreed, the sarcasm going over his head. "So, you have to find a special lady bee. That way, you can be a real Prince Charming."
"All right, since I have to." Far be it for Bruce to deny his Robin anything. And hey, it could be fun. "How will I know who the right princess is?" So far, Bruce and Alfred had been taking their cues from Mr. Rogers' TV show they loved, and were cobbling together a fairly convincing human act. But it was touch and go. Bruce could spot an affair at 100 paces when he was working a case, but he didn't know how to start a relationship. Crime and healthy marriages didn't mix. Dick tapped his chin and hummed. She has to be, like, pretty, like in the Barbie movies, and super smart, like she has to be able to win the spelling bee. Oh, and count super high, like to 1,000.
That's very high,
Bruce said as he turned into the school drive. Gotham Academy's gloomy, gothic structure came into view, and Bruce felt himself relax at this welcoming architecture. There were so many crannies to hide in. It was perfect.
Can you count to 1,000?
Yeah, 'cause I'm Robin, Dick said, puffing with pride. I can count to 1,000,000. Bruce made a suitably impressed grunt as he pulled into the drop-off lane. You have to make sure your princess is up to sniff, Bee, Dick said as he hauled his backpack out of the backseat. It's important for the mission.
I'll do my best,
Bruce said wryly.
Maybe you can help me, since it seems you've already found yours.
Dick cocked his head like a bird.
I'm pretty sure the commissioner's daughter can count to 1,000, Bruce said. And won her great spelling bee.
Dick squawked. Bee! No! Bub's just a friend! You're gross! He slammed the door shut and scrambled away, cheeks cherry red. Bruce drove back to the manor, shaking his head in amusement. Barbara Gordon was 2 grades ahead of Dick, but they had lunch at the same time. Bruce had been hearing about how pretty and smart and awesome she was all month. It was only fair he teased Dick, since he had a feeling that all of Dick's princess criteria revolved around her. Still, a princess. Bruce took a turn sharper than expected, too lost in his thoughts to care about the collision he almost caused. He had been alone for most of his existence before Alfred found him. The butler needed someone to care for, and Bruce had fit the bill. Now it was impossible to untangle themselves from the strange, wordless bond they had. But despite it, Bruce still felt solitary, alone. Perhaps it wouldn't be so bad to fill the void. After all, a Robin had already made his nights less lonely. A princess's company would be just as wonderful.
But where on earth am I going to find one of those?
The Dark Knight muttered. Then he remembered he was Bruce Wayne now. There were bound to be a few of them at the next gala. Well, that was as good a place to start as any. Bruce discovered he liked being romantic, just like he liked being pretty. Both were concepts polar opposite to his nature, so at first, trying them on felt like slipping on an ill-fitting glove. But with Alfred and Dick's help, he was tailoring it into something form-fitting and practiced. Their advice, of course, varied drastically. Dick wanted Bruce to challenge people to duels, smudge ladies' hands, and be dashing. Alfred, meanwhile, was much more practical and reminded Bruce he had to finish conversations rather than wandering off partway through.
And a smile
dear boy, the butler said. For goodness sake, that makes all the difference.
Those, it turned out, were the truest words ever spoken. At galas, Bruce Wayne was more popular than God in a cathedral. The combination of his grin and net worth made him irresistible. Pretty soon, the problem was an overabundance of paramours, and Bruce wasn't sure how to narrow them down. How was he supposed to find the right person? Everyone blurred together, and although Bruce enjoyed leaning into his new, bubbly personality, he was at a loss for what he was actually supposed to feel about all of this. It's a bzzz feeling in your heart, Dick said the night of another gala Bruce was planning to attend. Like, you swallowed a bee. But fuzzy, too. A bimblebee.
Bumblebee,
Alfred corrected absently. Dick harumphed and went back to coloring. He had 20 minutes before bedtime and clearly didn't want to waste them. I'll keep that in mind, chum, Bruce said as he finished tying his Windsor knot. It was tight on his neck, like a noose. An old-fashioned statement, in his opinion. He left the manor once Dick was in bed, and forced himself to drive to the event instead of moving through the shadows. He wanted his human life to be truly convincing, even if Gotham hissed under his skin for him to return to it. There was an upsurge of crimes, and the hearts of the victims were nursing vendettas. Batman was their crusader, but sometimes their screams for justice made him forget he was also Bruce. Balancing both was a tricky business. Gotham's siren song was very bossy. Perhaps that was who he was in love with? Bruce grimaced, and the power went out in a store he drove past. Definitely not. Perhaps he just didn't have those emotions. He hadn't had kindness either, although he had grown the capacity to contain it when Dick had arrived. Romantic inclinations were no doubt the same. He parked and eyed the glittering venue with new reluctance. He didn't want to socialize anymore, but if he went home, Alfred would judge him. Blast it. However, it was a good thing he went in, because within an hour, Bruce's pessimism was proven wrong. He bumped into someone and nearly spilled his champagne. He saved the drink, but not his first impression. "Pardon me, miss," he said. "I'm afraid I've had a bit too much to..." He looked up and words failed him. He was still learning what people found pretty, but he would swear this woman was the most beautiful person he had seen. "I'll say, you're taking the word tipsy quite literally," the woman smirked, adjusting her stance to show off her broad shoulders and diamond earrings. A velvet dress hugged her silhouette, sculpted to her like a second skin, and made her dark eyes pop like stars stolen from the night sky. Bruce sensed a vindictive, playful personality under her skin that balanced the need for fairness with retribution. Something buzzed in Bruce's chest, like a fuzzy bumblebee. "What's that? Cat got your tongue?" the woman practically purred.
"Did I call you that?" Bruce said, collecting himself. "Pardon me again. I would have used a much politer word. Angel, perhaps."
Although that implied light and halos of which this woman had neither, she was a mystery wrapped in the shadows of secrets.
Bruce was a fan.
Flatterer, she said, extending a jeweled hand. Selina Kyle.
He shook it. Bruce Wayne.
I gathered that, Selina said. You've been the talk of the town for months. She had also gathered his Rolex, but Bruce wasn't going to comment on it. He didn't have much use for watches anyway.
Nothing can save a first impression, I suppose. But can I make it up to you?
He asked.
They are fresh out of white wine, but I hear the rosé is to die for.
Well, I'm sure there are worse ways to spend my evening, she replied, eyes on his emerald tie pin. By the time they had moved to the balcony with their new drinks, Bruce had lost it and both his cufflinks. He suspected his wallet would be soon to follow. So, what does Brucey Wayne want with me? Selina asked, running her finger over the rim of her cup. I'm flattered by the attention, but I'm not the usual tail you chase.
Not a model, you mean? Bruce said. I hadn't realized I was getting a reputation for them, but I suppose that makes sense. Dick loves meeting them.
Your son? She said. Bruce nodded, his smile growing wider.
He thinks they are princesses.
He pulled out his phone and showed Selina a photo of Dick jumping up and down in front of a supermodel Bruce had met at a fundraiser. Her name had been Belle, and Dick still believed she was the inspiration for the Disney movie. He had her autograph and everything. Selina cooed at the picture, then coughed like she hadn't meant to do that. Bruce understood. He had the same reaction when he looked down and realized he had kidnapped the boy from the crime scenes of his parents' murder and taken him straight to the Batcave. Dick had that effect on people.
So you're dating every model in Gotham because your boy likes them, Selina said, subtly swiping an earring of a passing woman.
Worse than that,
Bruce said, putting a hand to his chest.
My son wants me to find a lovely lady to settle down with.
Really? Selina looked amused.
He is insistent, Bruce said, but he's got a list a mile long of requirements she has to meet. And nobody's been up to snuff.
Selina leaned against the railing, a smirk covering her face. I didn't know kids were so hard to please. What are these Herculean tasks he's given your poor dates?
Well,
Bruce looked around and used an exaggerated stage whisper.
She has to be good at spelling. And count to 1,000. I am told this is a deal-breaker.
Selina snorted into her drink and quickly put it down. Those are high standards for this crowd. Bruce's chest did something fluttery, like it was full of liquid sunshine. Selina had a nice smile and a funny laugh. It bubbled out of her like water from a fountain.
I won't give up the search, Bruce said with a wink. I'm sure someone who matches that profile will pop up. How about you, Miss Kyle? Are you in the market for anything?
You could say that, she said. I have an eye for oddities. Let's say, I am drawn to them.
Anything here catch your eye? Bruce asked.
Selina's face lingered on his lips
before she picked her drink again.
Maybe. Tell me more about your kids. The papers each have a different story. But I want to know what really happened.
Bruce's eyes crinkled from the force of his grin. Chatting about Dick was something he could do all night. When Bruce got home several hours later, he asked Alfred to mark the calendar for a date in a couple of weeks.
Find another poor soul to practice your deplorable wooing techniques on?
Alfred said. Yes, Bruce said happily. She is perfect.
Oh, do tell.
Bruce wanted to, but first he had to ask for Alfred to create a new wallet for him. Selena had stolen his, along with his phone. He and Selena went on 7 dates, and Bruce enjoyed all of them. Selena had the quick, sly wit of someone used to being underestimated. It was paired with a calculated ambivalence that kept others at arm's length. Only, she couldn't seem to manage that with Bruce. After a trip to an art museum, a jaunt through Robinson Park, and several afternoons idling away time in various cafes, she lost her veneer of sophistication around him. Their 5th date was to a cat shelter, the 6th, a library painting class, and on the 7th, she came to the manor and met Dick.
"Are you sure she's a princess?" Dick whispered into Bruce's ears after introductions were made. "She doesn't have a crown."
"Well, she's no Barbara Gordon," Bruce said. "But I think so."
Dick squawked and ran away, probably to hide the Valentine's Day card he had been making for his crush all afternoon. Bruce chuckled and looked over to where Selena was talking with Alfred about different tea leaves, the butler's latest obsession. She had worn a loose t-shirt and running shoes tonight. Bruce had watched enough period pieces to know it was normal to dress up for meeting family, but Selena was the opposite. She wouldn't have worn something so casual unless she felt comfortable here. Even with the deep shadows and unnatural chill in the Wayne Manor. It was nice, seeing her with Bruce's family, framed by the setting sun as it glinted off her hoop earrings. She fit in here. Hopefully, she would stay a while. Maybe forever. Bruce would have liked that very much. But they only went on 7 dates. There was never an 8th. Selena told him to meet him outside an Italian restaurant. She was working late, but she would be there eventually. Bruce was a timeless creature, so he didn't mind waiting. The air grew cold. People's breaths froze as they exhaled, causing Bruce to remember to make his own do the same. Night fell slowly, with frost encroaching with a crowl. Streetlights turned on, flickering and sputtering above him. Someone from the restaurant asked if he wanted to come in. Bruce said no. He was waiting for Selena. "Suit yourself," the employee said, then vanished inside. The shadows lengthened, and his presence made them deeper, darker, until the streetlights suffocated under him. It occurred to Bruce that he should have asked how long someone was supposed to wait in situations like this, but he hadn't, and Selena was bound to turn up eventually. She didn't. Bruce waited the whole night, but Selena never showed.
Confusion soon grew into worry, then panic, as dawn broke through the smog. Bruce let himself melt into the gritty unreality of Gotham's essence to look for her. He berated himself for not doing so sooner, but he had been trying to be more Bruce around Selina. Just Bruce, actually, appearing as an ordinary man, played with his head, and sometimes he forgot to use his powers. He would have to fix that. It was sloppy. He stretched himself into every crevice of the city, letting his eyes peer into the cracks and corners of its underbelly as he looked for Selina's signature grin. He found her in 10 minutes, worried that something had happened to her was put to rest. She was at home, unharmed and untouched by anything evil, as she started her morning routine. Batman, Bruce, whichever one he was currently, tilted a head that wasn't there in confusion. She was fine, which meant she had just forgotten about him. Bruce wasn't sure how that was supposed to make him feel, so he decided to think nothing of it. He went home, roused Dick out of his mountain of fuzzy blankets for school, and put the incident behind him. It was an honest mistake. It had to be. But when he and Selina rescheduled, she still didn't come. Nor the next time. Nor the next. When they met at Gala's, she pretended nothing was wrong. Bruce was confused. And hurt. But mostly confused.
"You're not allowed to see Selina anymore," Dick said at breakfast, after the 5th time Selina had been a no-show. Bruce looked up from his newspaper where he had been cutting out an interview of him and Dick at Wayne Enterprises' latest charity event.
"Why?"
"She's not a good princess for you," Dick said, crossing his arms.
"But I like her," Bruce said.
"She jilted you," Dick said, "like Miss Montgomery did to Alonso, and then, when he was still sad, she married the dentist."
Bruce put down the paper. "Dick, have you been watching daytime television again?"
Dick stuffed his mouth with toast. "I'm watching soap. It is teaching me how to be clean. Just like a clean hair cloth the next time I see her."
Bruce looked questioningly at Alfred, who shrugged. "Well, okay," Bruce said. Television wasn't his forte. Too many bright lights and screens. The Batcomputer was all he could handle, and it had been made out of Gotham's essence. "Hygiene is important."
"I don't like hygienes. They give me wedgies," Dick said, mashing up his eggs. "But I mean it, Bee. You need a princess who treats you right. But Selina is bad. We gotta take her off the island."
"Kids these days. Their slang might as well have been Greek to Bruce." "No, scratch that. He could speak Greek. Whatever Dick was talking about might as well have been Martian."
"I'll keep that in mind," Bruce said. "Now, stop playing with your food."
Clean her clock was not a promise. It was a threat. Bruce made the mistake of bringing Dick to a family fun day event that was raising money for elephant sanctuaries and forgot Selina was also in attendance. As soon as his son locked eyes with Mrs. Kyle, Dick let out a wartime shriek and ran at her, fingers splayed like claws. Bruce barely grabbed him before Dick could stomp on her foot, or worse, gouge out her eyes.
"You're evil! Evil!"
Dick yelled at Selina, wriggling like an eel.
The enemy of love! I hope you get wrinkles on your butt!
Apologies, Miss Kyle, Bruce said, adjusting his grip on Dick. If he hadn't been an experienced Robin handler, there's no way he would have been able to hold on to the kid.
He's had too much sugar.
No worries, Mr. Wayne, she said, looking mostly amused. It happens to the best of us. She winked, and Bruce wanted to wink back, except Dick was still on the warpath, and it was hard to look sexy while stopping a 10-year-old from committing murder in a public space.
You're not allowed to be a princess ever again, Dick continued to howl. Stay away from me!
All right, if you insist, Selina said, as she sipped a fancy drink. I'm not one to be tied down, anyway.
Oh. Well. Bruce would need to process that later. Dick had just grabbed a passing waiter's tray and was throwing canapés at her. Bruce didn't even say goodbye. He just threw Dick over his shoulder, marched to the nearest water closet, and teleported home so Alfred could ground the kid.
Once the dust settled, and Dick was sent to bed without dessert, Bruce could admit his son had had a point. Selina wasn't someone Bruce should keep seeing. Still, she was interesting and had a lilt in her soul that he found fascinating. He decided to give it one more shot, and called her at midnight.
Did you mean what you said today?
He said, leaning on his balcony, like one of the protagonists in those soaps Dick liked so much.
When? Selina said in amusement. Before or after your baby tried to shiv me?
After, Bruce said, unable to enjoy their usual banter. Am I tying you down?
Beneath him, shadows flickered and writhed. At night, in the privacy of his manor, Bruce didn't need to control the trendiles that fanned out from him. They covered everything his presence touched, fusing him with the manor's essence. He felt Dick snuggling into his pillows 6 doors down, the bats waking up in the caverns far below, and Alfred's presence in the kitchens as he muttered obscenities at the recipe block he was trying to read. His shadows brushed against them in a promise to never leave. It wasn't a chain, just a reminder. Selina sighed into the receiver. Her breath crackled over the line.
Oh, Bruce, it's not you. Don't take it personally. I've loved our time together, but if I stay any longer, I won't be able to make myself leave.
What does that mean? Bruce said. Wasn't that the point of all of this? She chuckled.
Nobody who hears Brucey Wayne expects anything serious to come out of a few dates, Mr. Wayne. I was hoping for a good time, maybe a funny story. But then you had to be perfect, and I kept coming back for more.
Bruce brushed his hair out of his face, nicking himself with a claw.
I think you're perfect too, Selina.
Mm-hmm, Selina said. I've been told that before, but I think you really mean it. That's nice.
Alfred misses you, Bruce said, quieter. Dick's got a grudge, but he could come around. You said you like oddities. We're all plenty strange. You've got a place here, if you would like.
Neither of them spoke for a minute. Bruce thought about he had stumbled onto Dick and suddenly found himself thrown into a world he had only ever observed. The isolation of his previous state had been shattered irrevocably, and he hadn't looked back. Perhaps Selena was experiencing the same thing. Not as dramatic as cultivating an entire personality, Bruce hoped, but a crossroads in what her life could be. He thought of her in his kitchen, smiling at Alfred while Dick tugged on her shirt, anxious to show her the picture he had drawn. Her earrings had glinted in the low light, bright gold against the dark. How lovely it would be for her to always be there.
"Thank you, sweetheart," she said, "but that life isn't for me. Perhaps there's a supermodel that can be your princess. I've got other dreams to chase."
She hung up, leaving Bruce to his darkness. He took a controlled breath, put the phone away, and told himself this was okay. Nothing to fuss over at all. In fact, he was fine. In the distance, Gotham's lights abruptly went out as a power outage hit. The darkness lasted a week. Bruce sulked long after the power outages were fixed. Officially, he was on a journey of self-discovery in the Swiss Alps. Unofficially, he was a primordial pool of sentient sadness in the Batcave, at the mercy of whatever science experiments Dick decided to try on his sludge. He pulled himself, literally, together at night for patrol, but was far more brutal than normal. Bruce blamed it on the hearts of the unavenged, being more petty than usual, and ignored his own feelings. Alfred side-eyed him when he let that observation slip, and Bruce had the feeling Gotham itself was also judging him, and was unimpressed. "I know you're sad because of Selena, so I got you sugar," Dick said, dumping a bucket of Easter candy onto the floor where Bruce was a puddle. "You gotta eat it, then we can find you a new princess."
"I don't want a new princess," Bruce muttered.
There, that was his daily word quota for the week. Alfred had better be happy. Dick rolled his eyes and threw the bucket onto the ground.
"Yes, you do! The soaps always have a rewind, girlfriend, when things go wrong."
"Rebound?"
Alfred's voice echoed off the walls. He was upstairs, prepping dinner, but could perceive everything that happened in the manor.
"Penny, we are having a conversation. Leave us alone."
Dick yelled, then turned back to Bruce.
"We'll show her. She wasn't good enough for you. I have a plan. Come on."
He tried to tuck Bruce up, but Bruce was, as mentioned, a puddle. After a moment, Dick growled and started shoving Bruce into the bucket with a mop.
"Stop being a cat liquid," Dick said, dragging the bucket towards the elevator. "I can't give you a makeover if you're goop."
Bruce tipped the bucket over and flopped back onto the floor.
No!
It took Dick another 20 minutes to poke Bruce into sentience. By then, Alfred had threatened to get involved if Batman didn't pull himself together. It seemed Bruce's mope days were over. Damn. After a stern dressing down from the butler, several pep talks from Dick, and a crime spike that forced him to care about his existence again, Bruce was back in action. The sting of Selina's brutal breakup started to fade, and Bruce thought that perhaps his son was right. It wouldn't hurt to put himself out there again.
and the idea of someone to share his life with still appealed to him. Unfortunately, nobody else stood out. Bruce didn't mesh well with most people. Their hearts were too lackluster to feed off of, and most of their grudges were petty instead of vengeful. Selena had been defied by tit for tat and fair play, but most people were not. Bruce felt like a cardboard cutout around them, pantomiming gestures and hoping they looked real enough. Dating was fun, but it quickly lost its shine. Dick said he just had to do his bestest, and that happily ever after suddenly came at the end of a story, so Bruce took that to heart. He didn't take any of his failed relationships personally. Frankly, he was amazed he could flirt at all. It wasn't a skill pivotal to the mission.
I don't think I'm going to find another Selena,
he confessed to Alfred one night, a couple of years after the breakup.
Maybe I'll be alone forever.
I dare say I don't mind there being only one of her to exist, Alfred said frostily. Like Dick, he nursed a grudge against a woman who saw their family and gave it a hard pass. However, you are far from alone, Master Bruce. Neither Master Dick nor myself are going anywhere.
Bruce said, comforted. Alfred was right. He didn't need anybody else in his life. Sure, it would be nice, but this was nice, too. Perhaps this was a dream he should pack away and focus his energy elsewhere. Being a perpetual bachelor was hardly a bad thing. Famous last words, because when Dick was 13, at the tail end of summer, Bruce did meet someone. Her soul was a curved blade, elegant yet practical. She walked like the world was built in her image, and a blinding conviction echoed of the walls of her heart. Bruce saw her from across the room at a green energy gala, and felt his world shift to include her in it. As soon as the opening speech was over, he made his way towards her, already smiling. It wasn't long before they were chatting, and Bruce felt something buzz deep inside himself, like a bumblebee starting to wake up. Talia al Ghul was something special. He wanted to find out everything about her and devour her whole. End of chapter 1. Rest in peace, Selena. She has commitment issues. The idea of settling down with a weird himbo and his adorable adopted son, complete with a family butler, scared her off. Her loss. Chapter 2. Courting Disaster. Summary. Bruce meets his match. Talking to Talia was the best decision Bruce had ever made. Within 10 minutes, he went from fascinated to enamored. She was so... He didn't have the words for it. There was just something about her sharp eyes and the curl of her lips that electrified the place his heart should have been in. She was danger, plain and simple, and Bruce was a fan. How long are you in town, Miss Al Ghul?
He asked, hoping she would say, forever. Talia sipped her champagne and hummed in consideration. Who's to say? I haven't found anything fascinating about
this speck of land jet, just as smug and suffering. Hardly a place to spend my time. The emeralds in her ears gleamed, and even in the bright light, Talia seemed to be draped in shadows. She would do so well in Gotham's dark corners where no light would ever reach. Bruce tilted his head and smiled his best, brightest smile.
Don't let the Metropolites fool you, Miss Al Ghul. Gotham has plenty of gorgeous sights hidden from the spotlight. You just need a guide to show you them.
He stepped forward and trailed a finger in her hair as he leaned closer.
What do you say to having me show you around? I'm sure I can find something in the shadows that strikes your fancy.
She eyed him for a long time, a mixture of bemused and wary, and sipped her champagne again. I suppose you'll make an adequate distraction. For now, she said noncommittally. Bruce felt another shiver run down his spine as he returned her smile. Talia was the Barbie to Bruce's Ken. She was sophisticated, talented, smart, and pretty. Very pretty. In the words of his pretty teenager, Bruce was a full-on simp for her. For lack of knowing what that actually meant, Bruce took it as a compliment. He and Talia had been on several dates so far, and each one had been better than the last. When he had taken her to the opera, he had even gotten her to laugh. To his delight, she had a rough chuckle, almost like she had been kicked in the ribs. It contrasted with her polished fashion in a way that made her so sincerely alive that Bruce couldn't help but laugh with her. A booming, casual laugh, not his Brucey one. Talia seemed to like that, too. And that night marked a turning point for them both. For the first few dates, Talia had been obviously indifferent, but with each one, she thought a little more, laughed a little louder. By the time the opera had rolled around, Bruce had even been starting to hope. And then, after he took her home that night, she called him to say goodnight. Gotham's shadows had been heart-shaped for 3 hours after that. There had been a news story about the phenomenon, and several of the rogues had freaked out about Batman being disturbingly happy when he stopped their crimes. Bruce was on cloud nine, and Talia had reached out to him. Maybe this time something long-term could happen. He wouldn't have to be single anymore. Everything was perfect. No, Dick said.
No,
Batman parroted back, breaking out of his fantasies. Do you want to hear it in Spanish? Dick said. No. Batman cocked his head like an owl, as in completely upside down. He and Robin were on a stakeout and had started chatting to pass the time. You can't date her. She has the ick, Dick said.
Ick.
Bruce torqued his head another 30 degrees. Teenagers got new slang too fast for his taste. Keeping track of it was mentally draining. Yeah, the ick, Dick said. She's weird, and I don't like how she looks at you. Find someone else. Bruce frowned.
his shadow's getting darker.
No.
Dick double took.
What?
Bruce didn't say anything. He was too busy sulking. He liked Talia. There was something different about her. What was the harm in pursuing that? He hadn't with Selena, and look where that got him. That's right, nowhere. Maybe if he had shown more initiative, she wouldn't have dumped him.
She's a creepy ninja lady, Dick said, gesturing wildly. I don't want her as my stepmom.
Oh, yeah.
Her double life as a mercenary assassin. That was a bit problematic. However, Talia didn't seem to be accepting any jobs at the moment, so Bruce was willing to overlook that. If anything, knowing she could take down a group of armed men without breaking a sweat was a turn-on.
She's perfect, Bruce said to Dick. Her grandfather is minor royalty, and she can count to 1,000.
Dick looked lost.
So?
So?
Batman drew his cloak around himself until all that remained for his form were 2 white eyes.
That makes her a princess.
He dissipated into the night, leaving Robin to scramble after him.
Seriously, Bee?
He heard the boy yell. I said that when I was 9.
Bruce did not stop seeing Talia. In fact, as Dick would say, he dated her even harder.
Nights at the opera turned into evenings at the aquarium, followed by strolls through botanical gardens. Bruce listened avidly as Talia ranted about environmentalism and the plague of human progress. She was so passionate about her ideals. And in turn, Talia softened around him until the sharp edges he so adored were blunted in his presence. He should have minded, except there was something special about her lowering her walls around him. Bruce didn't want to jinx himself, but he thought Talia was growing genuinely fond of him. She had even delayed her travels home to spend Valentine's Day in Gotham.
You'd like her, I think,
Bruce told Alfred after gushing, grunting, for 30 minutes about the restaurant he wanted to take her to.
She's fierce.
I do hope she's an improvement over the Kyle woman,
Alfred said haughtily as he dusted a shelf.
Fierceness is only one of many respectable qualities.
Bruce said, and decided to hold off inviting Talia to the manor for the time being. Neither Dick nor Alfred seemed wild about her, and Bruce didn't want to scare her off like he had with Selena. Spending Valentine's Day alone was a safer bet.
Or not.
Bruce was a fool. He had been so excited to spend the day with Talia, and then the night, it had been a great day, that he had gotten sloppy. In public, that was fine. The shadows under the lamp post had simply wobbled more than normal, and the passerby had shuddered as they felt something other watching them with invisible eyes. But in Talia's apartment, where the lights were off and only the glow of the city below illuminated them, the darkness had become too alive to ignore. And in the kissing, caressing, and sweet nothings they had been involved with, Bruce's control had slipped on the banana of bad decisions and fallen down the stairs of consequences. He had stayed frozen as Talia gaped at him, taking in his true form with wide eyes. He was half Bruce, half Batman, more shadow than human, and filled every corner of the room. The darkness was suffocatingly dense, and Gotham buzzed in his veins. He braced himself for her horror and revulsion. Vengeance wasn't supposed to be pretty nor alluring. It was pain and punishment, obscured by darkness until it struck with bloody knuckles and inevitable violence. Being Bruce was a novelty, because that face was the opposite of everything he truly was, and it was what Talia had fallen for, Bruce, not Batman. She would want nothing to do with him.
"Oh, my," she said after a moment. "Beloved."
"I can't explain," Bruce began, though he wondered where he was even supposed to start. His stuttered, half-baked expository tale was cut off as Talia reeled him in for a deep, passionate kiss. Her lips tasted like cherry, and her fingers gripped him with bruising strength.
"We can talk later," she said, when she came up for air, resting her cheek against his. "You are marvelous." Everything seemed to stop. No clocks existed. It was just him, Talia, and the darkness. Something tender and small burned in the place Bruce's heart was supposed to be, bright against the rest of his essence.
"I am," he said. She nodded, a gleam in her eyes, the same knife-like intensity which with she viewed the world was directed completely to him, and there was only want within it.
"Yes, beloved, you are perfect," Talia said, and pulled him down again as the shadows enveloped them both.
Over the next week, heart-shaped shadows dotted the entire city. The rogues were now officially concerned. By March, Bruce could confidently say he had never been happier. Honesty was the key to a good relationship, and everything since Valentine's Day had been, to quote that strange man in red from Metropolis, "plum, dandy, and swell." Talia liked Bruce and Batman, especially Batman. She said he was a dark well of power that she was helpless to stay away from, and an intriguing spring of eternity to boot. Bruce was very pleased. Most people cowered in fear when Batman appeared, which was by design, but Talia's eyes lit up. She regarded him like a magpie that had just found a shiny bubble. Bruce liked that a lot. The female gaze was amazing. Even better, now that Talia knew who and what he was, he could show her Gotham the proper way. They traded civilian dates for chases across rooftops and splinking tours of Gotham's labyrinthine tunnels. Bruce could appear in whatever shape he wanted around her, and Talia grew more and more familiar with him as well. In short, it was a magical, wonderful time, and Bruce wanted to spend the rest of his life with this woman. The only problem was that his teenage son was a judgy grump determined to ruin
what little happiness Bruce could find, and Dick played dirty.
Who is that?
Bruce said one night. He had just returned to the Batcave after a long night of staring into Talia's eyes, only to find his sanctuary invaded.
I don't know what you are talking about, Dick said, like the brat he was.
Robin, Bruce said, losing patience. Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, was sitting at the Batcomputer. She had stolen Bruce's favorite swivel chair and hadn't moved in hours. He was pretty sure she was overhauling his entire computer system. Dick crossed his arms with confidence only a 14-year-old could muster. She's already been patrolling on her own for months. I'm just being friendly to our local vigilante buddies.
You invited her into the Batcave, Bruce said, channeling Sun.
Having someone else use a bat name for their hero work was fine. Bruce honestly couldn't care less. But welcoming them into his home and letting them poke and prod his computer, that crossed a line.
So, you invited Talia to patrol, Dick said waspishly. I'm the lesser of two evils. Besides, now that you're spending all your time with that lady, it makes sense for me to have a new primary partner. Right, babe? I mean, Babs.
Bruce's ears sharpened and his eyes narrowed into angry triangles. Primary partner? But that wasn't safe. Bruce needed to supervise his boy so he didn't goad two rival gangs into targeting him again.
You're not subtle, Boy Wonder, Babs said, still glued to the screen.
Your crush is cute, but I fly solo. You just make a good minion now and then.
I don't know what you are talking about, Dick said, swiveling on his heel. His ears were bright red. I find you completely unattractive.
Keep telling yourself that, Babs said, unaffected. Enough was enough.
Get out of my house, Bruce said, glaring at his stolen swivel chair.
That was his. He had bought it from IKEA, fair and square.
Babs absently flipped him the bird and continued overhauling the Batcomputer's code.
Dick grinned smugly at Batman, like he had just proved something. Bruce was never going to understand this kid. In a matter of months, Batman and Robin turned into Robin and Batgirl. Dick refused to patrol as Bruce's third wheel, and left the personification of vengeance to his own devices. Babs and Dick were a duo now, though Barbara treated him more like a sidekick. Luckily, Dick seemed fine with that, though he had a bad habit of sighing wistfully whenever she kicked someone in the teeth. That was fine by Bruce, because he got to spend more time with Talia. Lies. He missed his baby. Talia was acting odd, though. All of Bruce's resources, Google, Reddit, and various soap operas, agreed that was usually the sign of a breakup, but that didn't seem right. Talia wasn't distant. If anything, it was the opposite. Bruce could barely find time away from her. They were together every day, followed by most of the night. Bruce liked that, although he put his foot down when she asked him to cancel plans with Dick. He needed bonding time with his bitty baby, come hell or high water. But Talia was also asking him to stay Batman more than Bruce. Again, he didn't mind, but it was odd. Batman was a manifestation of unresolved wrongs,
bent on getting even. His presence warped reality and brought an awareness of fleeting mortality, so most humans didn't like looking at his true form in the eye. But as always, Talia was different. She would cup his shadowed face in hers, staring at him with reverent, gleaming eyes, and tell him how marvelous he was. "This is what you are meant to be," she said, tracing his cheek with her nails. "You don't have to pretend around me, beloved. I love you for what you really are."
Bruce liked to hear that. Really, he did. But it still seemed odd. Alfred, who had little to no interest on what happened outside of the manor, or with people that weren't his charges, simply shrugged and told Bruce that perhaps that was just how relationships worked after a certain point. Bruce grunted and turned on another telenovela. The bright lights on the screen hurt his eyes, but it was a window into the madness that was romance, and he could use all the help he could get. "Maybe it's a sign you should break up with her," Dick said, flopping onto the couch next to Bruce. He switched the channel to Dr. Phil with a pointed look at Bruce. "You know, because she is crazy." Bruce let himself sink into the couch, sizzling into a mass of writhing shadows.
"I like crazy."
"Sure you do," Dick said, pulling out his phone to text someone. "Don't come crying to me when it all goes wrong." Bruce, mature and ageless, remotely turned off the Wi-Fi. "You suck," Dick said, switching to mobile data. "I hope you walk under a UV light on patrol and get sunburned for a week."
Now, Alfred said, too busy knitting a pair of Robin-themed gloves to intervene in a meaningful way. "That's no way to talk to your father. Jealousy is unbecoming."
"I'm not jealous," Dick said, aghast.
"Really?"
Bruce dripped with both sarcasm and shadows.
"Is that why I have a princess, and you don't?"
Bruce wasn't blind. It had been months. Dick had been following Babs around like a lost puppy. Unfortunately, she was just as uninterested now as she had been when Dick was 10. Minion status was the best he could get. "At least my princess isn't a psycho nut job," Dick muttered, turning bright red. He went back to his phone, blush crawling up his ears. "And I don't like Babs. We just hang out, like mature, cool people our age."
"Of course," Alfred said blandly. "I'm sure Miss Gordon would say the same. However, she would mean it."
Dick grumbled and sank lower into the cushions. Bruce turned the Wi-Fi back on and settled in to watch his show, vindicated, if nothing else. A month later, Reddit proved Bruce right. "She's gone?" Dick said, a big smile on his face. Bruce, once again a puddle on the Batcave floor, found a way to nod without a neck. "Hell yeah!" Dick crowed, jumping for joy.
"Language," Alfred said, idly manifesting a map to push Bruce into an area with less foot traffic. "And I believe Master Batman said they were taking a break."
Bruce didn't like the reminder. He removed the last of his surface tension, coating the entire cave floor with his sadness. "Uh-huh, right, sure,"
Dick said, unconvinced. Goodbye, Ninja Karen. Hello, Bachelorhood. This is the best day of my life. Bruce's horrible, unsympathetic son did a victory lap around the room, then followed that up with a truly appalling dance of celebration.
I thought your ultimate happiness would be when Miss Gordon agreed to go on a movie date with you,
Alfred said. She hasn't done that yet, so that's a moot point, Vic said.
Rejoice, Bruce! You're free!
Batman did not rejoice. He missed the gleam of Talia's eyes and the scrape of her fingernails in his hair. Who was he supposed to buy knives for now? Dick was banned from sharp objects after several incidents, and Alfred would only accept antique silverware as gifts. Talia's rants about saving the Earth from humanity were also entertaining, and now he didn't get any of them. He would never recover from this. But Talia said she had to go home for a while. She wanted to talk to her father about something, and Bruce couldn't leave Gotham for long periods of time. Sunny places did awful, unspeakable things to him, so he, by nature, had to stay behind. So here he was, with only the promise that Talia would come back. He wanted to believe she would, but late at night, he would remember how his relationship with Selina ended and wonder if this would go in the same direction. What was it about his large mansion, adorable child, and dedicated butler that scared people off? They didn't fight much. Perhaps it was the familial stability that was a bizarre thing to find in Gotham, downright foreign to most of the locals. Vic continued to cackle like the gremlin he was. Then he said something about telling Vicky Bale Bruce could be included in Gotham's most eligible again and raced up the stairs.
Shall I stop him, Master Bat?
Alfred asked. Bruce shrugged again, still an amorphous pile of goo.
Contrary to popular, aka Dick's opinion, Talia did come back, smiling and glowing with pride. She said everything with her father had gone well, and she had gotten the information she needed.
Now everything will truly be perfect, she said, pressing a kiss to Bruce's jaw.
They were on a rooftop near the docks, watching the harbor lights the way other couples enjoyed Christmas decorations. Bruce wanted to agree with her, to say he had never felt as close and as connected with another person as he did with her, to invite her to come live in his mansion, gremlin child included, and have her finally meet Alfred and Dick. Happily Ever After was a fixture on fairy tales, but Bruce was sure he and Talia could make their own. But before he could open his mouth, he felt a sharp prick on his arm. Bruce blinked, suddenly shaky. He looked down. There was a hole in his arm, like he had been jabbed with a syringe. But that was silly. Drugs didn't work on... The world spun. He was falling. Strong, supple arms caught him, and he heard a voice croon, sharp nails running through his hair.
Patience, beloved, Talia said. It will be over soon. Promise.
Panic filled his heart, a rare emotion for the Batman. Bruce had been so enraptured by the dangerous glint of her soul that he hadn't realized she had turned its sharp edge onto him until it was too late. One moment he struggled to stay awake, and the next he was nowhere,
or everywhere? Bruce couldn't tell. Everything was strange suddenly. Pieces were missing. What was happening? Where was Robin? He woke in chains. The fact that he had been asleep at all was disturbing. Bruce hibernated during times of peace, but even then he had limited awareness. Gotham's lull never faded from his bones, but it was muted now. Bruce felt groggy, disjointed, like his cape was torn. The blanket of night that coated him was ripped, whole chunks missing from it. Swathes of his selfhood were gone, and Bruce felt their loss through painless absence. There was no phantom ache of something that had been there, fighting to be felt. Any memory, sensation, or emotion tied to those pieces of himself was just not there. Bruce tried to stand, but all he could get to were his elbows. Solid shape was hard to hold, but he wanted to collect himself in the darkness under the Wayne Manor and sleep for 1,000 years until every scar was soothed away and he could be Gotham's sword again. But no, he couldn't do that. Dick was already growing up fast. If Bruce fell asleep, then the boy would be dead of old age before he saw him again, and that was unacceptable. Luckily, his form held, and the frigid chains tied around his limbs helped keep him stitched together, although he was numb where they touched. "Awake, are you?" someone said, their voice polished like metal and wickedly sharp blades. Before now, the sound would have caused a delighted shiver to go up Bruce's spine. Now, the sensation was much more unpleasant. "Talia," Bruce growled, still trying to get his bearings. "What is this?" Talia stepped forward, her dark hair pinned neatly behind her head. She wore cotton sparring gear, embroidered with a golden serpent on the side panels. Bruce had seen her in it dozens of times as they had chased each other through the city after dark. He had known it was a practical costume, but Talia had never worn so many weapons as she was now. Every inch of her was covered in blades, most of which Bruce had bought for her. He wished, suddenly, that he hadn't gotten her such high-quality ones. "Apologies, beloved," she said, kneeling in front of him. "I know this must be discomforting, but you will adjust once we have arrived."
"Arrived where?"
Bruce rasped. He looked around, taking in his surroundings. Usually, his shadows sensed the contours of everything they touched, so he rarely needed his eyes. But the numbness from the chains was spreading. Bruce could barely feel Gotham, and no wonder. They were in a shipping container.
"You removed me from my city,"
Bruce said in alarm.
"Talia!"
"It's for your own good," Talia said, flexing her hand as if she wanted to reach out and touch him. "You are wasted there, beloved. That dirty city doesn't deserve a protection spirit like you. My people will treasure you the way you are meant to be. In Nanda Parbat, your true potential will be unleashed." Her eyes burned ardent, obsessive fire.
Bruce struggled against the chains, a growl in his throat. She didn't understand. He was a facet of Gotham. Taking him from the city wouldn't sever him from it. His abilities were severely weakened outside its borders, but he was still connected to Gotham. Being relocated to her sunny homeland was out of the question.
"Shh, beloved," Talia said, caressing his cheek with a sharp fingernail. "You will see things my way soon. I've learned about critters like you from my father. Whatever heart you feed on alters you. So all one must do is change the desires you feast on, and the rest will follow. You will acclimate to my home soon, and you will love it more than this vile land. You will not need to hide yourself behind a false face, mimicking a species who doesn't appreciate you like I do." That wasn't. Bruce didn't need to hide. He wanted to be both Dickstad and Gotham's protector. Both could exist at once. He gave up nothing by being one or the other. Except his senses dulled when he concentrated too much on his human face, and Gotham was never pleased when he drifted too far from his mission. It was tolerant at best, impatient at worst, and Bruce had to fight to stay himself. Talia rested a hand on his chest and another on her own.
"My heart is for the taking. We will cull the softness from your flesh and remake you into what you are always meant to be, beloved. With my help, Batman will be marvelous."
He almost couldn't believe what he was hearing. All those nights together, all their laughter and soft gazes, and she wanted to cut him in half and keep the good part? The thing that was Bruce's heart broke.
"My name,"
he said, gathering the pieces of himself together again,
"is Bruce, and I will do no such thing."
There was only one person he had changed for, and it wasn't Talia al Ghul. Bruce would rather unmake himself than let whatever delusions festered inside her corrupt him. He had fashioned his own life out of the cobbled pieces of humanity Dick had helped him collect, and nothing would ever convince him to give them up. Talia sighed and stood.
"I suspected you would react this way. It seems the extreme measures were called for, after all. I couldn't risk you saying no."
Talia drew a bottle out of the folds of her clothes. It was half filled with shadows torn from his cape, writhing and straining against the glass. In her other hand was a wickedly sharp knife inscribed with delicate runes. Bruce felt cold at the sight of it. He knew, instinctually, that it was a weapon that could do him true harm. The woman he thought he loved trailed it as she approached. Bruce tried to call his shadows, but the chains burned when he attempted to do so. He was trapped, weak.
"Reasoning with you has failed, but perhaps you will be more cooperative after I revive you," she said. "Your body isn't flesh, so I don't need all of it, just your heart. I'm sure isolating it will help you acclimate quicker."
Talia angled the blade at his ribs. Bruce braced himself for pain, but before she could plunge it into his chest, the world intervened. The shipping container tilted and rolled, metal crashing like cannons as something rammed it. Bruce felt the impact,
but his relationship with pain was nebulous. He barely noticed the crunch of his nose against the floor, too focused on the struggling against his chains. Talia rolled with the container, but couldn't right herself before the door was ripped from its hinges. "Hey, lady," Robin said, standing in the doorway. If Wrath wore a face, it would be his. Behind him, Batgirl was operating the crane that had knocked the container over. "Get away from my dad!" Both teenagers burned with fierce, righteous anger and the need to avenge Bruce. Batman felt his soul light up from that, feeding on the strength of their hearts. Talia's eyes widened as she got into a fighting stance. Bruce wanted to tell her it was pointless, trained at birth she may have been, but there was no way she could beat Robin. Not because she was better than him, simply because once Dick was angry, he fought dirtier and longer than all of the rogues in Gotham combined, and right now he was madder than Bruce could ever recall. Half an hour later, Bruce finally got out of the chains. He sat on a cot in the medbay, rubbing his arms as Alfred yanked the repulsive things off. Talia had escaped by the skin of her teeth, taking the keys with her, so they had had to use a bolt cutter. Both non-human entities had hated every second of it. Whatever the chains were made out of was nasty business. Dick had named it Anti-Bat Metal. Very apropos. "Now, will you listen to me when I tell you someone's bad news?" Dick said, sitting in a pretzel shape on the floor. Bruce grunted, embarrassed by the whole situation. Underneath his general humiliation was the soul-deep hurt of being betrayed by someone he adored. Instead of processing those feelings, he was choosing to ignore them. It seemed like the safer option. "It's not his fault, Dick," Batgirl said as she wandered over. She had been updating the Batcomputer again. "Don't victim blame." "I'm not," Dick said, rolling his eyes. "But for crying out loud, we never should have let it get to this point. She was so obviously shady."
"I like shadows," Bruce muttered. "Shady is good."
Dick groaned, flopping onto the floor. If it were possible, Bruce was sure his son would have turned into a liquid. Bruce rubbed his wrists again, feeling the shadows writhing as they tried to heal the numbed areas. It would take a few days, if not weeks, to feel normal again. Maybe longer. Bruce's cape was still a tattered mess of shredded cloth. The shadows had been pricking at it, but hadn't been able to patch it together. Bruce felt smaller now, hollowed out.
"Thank you for the save, son,"
Bruce said, repressing those emotions too.
"I needed it."
He never should have let his guard down around Talia. The odds of her being a fanatic spiritualist who wanted to destroy his human aspect had been low. But Batman's entire purpose was to be a detective. This was on him. He had been leaning too heavily into his human guise the last few years, and he had almost paid a permanent price as a consequence.
"Perhaps it would be best, Master Bat, if you abstained from romantic partners for the time being,"
Alfred said, placing a cool hand on Bruce's shoulder.
"You seem to have bad luck in that area, though not for a lack of trying."
Bruce sighed, hating that the butler was right. Though, to be fair, aside from the kidnapping, attempted reprogramming, and almost stabbing his heart out, Talia had been wonderful, In her own twisted way, she had loved Bruce just as intensely as he did her. Bruce doubted he would find that kind of devotion again.
"I guess the Dark Knight just isn't destined to have a princess," Barbara said, plopping herself onto Bruce's swivel chair again.
"Pretty ironic."
"You're pretty," Dick said, then coughed. "I mean, pretty ironic."
"Still not dating you, Dick," she said, pulling out her phone.
"I never said I wanted to. Just take the compliment. Geesh," Dick said, bright red again. Bruce and Alfred exchanged long-suffering looks over the teenager's head.
Healing took time, but never seemed complete. Bruce's wrists were fine, but his cape remained damaged. Its tattered edges fluttered in every breeze, and when he tried to bolt out the night, the holes in it let the glow of the cities shine through like stars. Dick was working with Alfred to make patches, but so far, nothing could meld with Bruce's essence. He was simply ragged now, damaged.
"Maybe it's psychological," Dick said one night. "You know, emotional trauma."
"Hmm,"
Bruce said, doubtful. There was something missing in him, but for the life of him, he didn't know what. He was less of himself, somehow.
"Don't worry, Bee," Dick said, knocking their shoulders together. "You still got me and Alfie. We'll take care of you. The three of us are a team, remember?"
Bruce covered Dick with his tattered cloak and let the knight cuddle against him.
"No, not a team,"
Bruce said.
"Family."
Dick snuggled closer. He still hadn't outgrown his need for physical affection. Bruce was grateful.
"Yeah," his son said.
"That we are. And we don't need princesses at all." Bruce opened his mouth to say he still wanted one, then slowly closed it. Perhaps he wouldn't be so lucky to find a romance like that, but that didn't mean he was lacking in other meaningful things. Dick was right. Bruce had a family, and they would never leave him, no matter how strange and ungainly the three of them were. He let his tendrils curl tighter around Dick, the first human he had learned to love, the one Bruce had changed for, and the reason for everything he did. He buried his wish for a spouse down deep in the dark that no one, not even Gotham, could touch, and lifted his face to the sky. The stars were hidden under the smog, but the moon shone bright, washing out the shadows with its gleam and smiling down with promise. The city was alive with the noise of 10 million people, and Gotham sang its song within his bones, as vibrant as it had always been. Bruce breathed a deep breath, drank it in, and smiled.
"No, I don't," Bruce said. "Not as long as I have you."
Epilogue. In a land where the moon was still in bed and the sun danced upon its throne, there was a place with no light, and a woman who yearned for the dark. Talia leaned back in her chair, eyes red after hours of work. It had been a long day, a hard one like so many were, but her soul purred with satisfaction that finally, her plan was beginning to work.
You have done a marvelous job, daughter, her father said, one hand curled on the back of her chair. He wore emerald rings with metal snakes twisted around the jewels. I had begun to think of it as impossible. After all, you did not capture his heart. The reminder sent a dull ache through her ribs. She had left her beloved in that hateful city, bound to serve a land that wasn't worthy of his strength or grace. But she had not escaped empty-handed. And that had to be enough for now, at least until she could go back and save him properly, once that wretched boy of his was out of the way.
Fear not, father, Talia said, rising to her feet. My love is strong enough to prevail over the sun itself. This is one thing I will not fail, even if the stars were to go cold.
Both sets of eyes were fixed on the mechanical womb in the center of the room, where a cluster of shadows writhed. Some still had the threadbare hints of the fabric they had once been.
Every shadow in that city is part of him. That doesn't change if they are taken away, Talia said, smiling as she caressed the glass.
Robin may have had his hooks into Batman's soul, but Talia had still managed to grab a piece of his cape. It hadn't been the heart she wanted, but even a single piece of Gotham's night had been worth the struggle to obtain it. So long as her heart was feeding the fragments, it would not die. Those insipid human follies were being purged from it, and already she could see it changing into something powerful, something hers.
Damien will be perfect, Talia said, pressing her cheek against the glass as she felt her heart beat in tandem with the dark.
The end. Unfortunately, Talia's plan to immediately go back to Gotham and save Bruce gets put on the back burner when baby Damien proves to be a parenting nightmare, being born from a fragment of an emotionally repressed himbo vigilante based on the other side of the world does not a happy baby make, especially when said baby is literally made of shadows. Baby bat love for the win.
Bruce, skewing romance. I will be a father. And nothing but a father.
Dick. Yes? Wait, why are you talking mean and reading me bedtime stories? I'm literally a teenager.
Bruce, flipping through the hungry caterpillar. Age is just a number.
Dick. No, EA. No, it ain't. Alfie!
Reader's notes. Cold read this chapter, literally cold reading all the ones that I hadn't read already, so everything past the next installment, so that I have an extra incentive to record instead of, like, forgetting about it. And I'm actually kind of sad that Dick doesn't end up with Babs in this, like, even in the background for a little bit. Like, I don't OTP them, but I also do ship them a little bit as something that happens between them. And I don't think there would have been an opportunity for them to be together before, like, the rest of the stuff happens. At least, not as a focus. Also, can't wait for baby bat bluff Damien to meet Dick and once again get his shape from him, because I am a big fan of, like, Dick being the parental figure most present in Damien's life, and yeah, I would just love to see Talia's reaction to that. It would be fantastic. Thank you. Yes, anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed, and please remember to drink some water today.